Hi, everybody. Thanks for tuning in and tuning up. This is Scott Jensen with my Ancient Wisdom Modern Health Podcast. Here, I share and explain how to get and stay healthy with Tai Chi, Qigong, and Kung Fu, mixing interviews with incredible people and my own insights and experiences. We look for timeless wisdom and proven practices to be healthy and happy today. Wuda, or martial virtue, is an ancient and largely unwritten code of conduct in the world of Chinese martial arts. Wuda is the heart of classical combat-oriented kung fu. Wuda is the most important part of your training, of your school, and of your style. Without Wuda, one is a thug and not welcome member of the martial world. But what is Wuda, and how do you get it? Hi, everybody. Thank you for tuning in this week. Today, I would like to answer a question from one of my students, Darren Miyawaki, who submitted it at ask@ancientwisdommodernhealth.com. Hi, Sifu Jensen. Thank you for recording the podcast each week. I have been enjoying them and look forward to them each week. I was wondering if you could talk about Wuda, or martial virtue. I would love to learn how this would apply in a situation that called for self-defense, as well as how the virtues apply to our everyday relationships. Thank you, and hope that you and Rachel and your family are well and healthy. Best wishes, Darren. When we talk about Wuda, we really need to talk about Guan Gong, or Guan Yu. Guan Gong is the god of war in China, and Wuda is really his purview, his domain. I have said just a moment ago that the code of Wuda was largely unwritten. There is, in fact, a sutra about Wuda by Guan Gong. When we talk about these Chinese gods and this polytheistic religion with many deities in China, it sounds very different, very foreign to those of us in America or Europe who may have been raised as Christians. And it may even be hard to imagine that people in China are really paying attention to Guan Gong and all of the classical gods anymore. In Taiwan, they certainly are. And I'd like to just talk about my friend in Taiwan, Teacher Yang, who's a Chen-style Tai Chi teacher. He absolutely loves Guan Gong, thinks about Guan Gong every day, goes to the Guan Gong Temple, offers some incense, make a little prayer. You know, if the package from the UPS comes early, then Guan Gong helped him because he knew that Yang Laoshi really needed to get that package. Yang Laoshi was the person who gave me the Guan Gong Sutra and gave us a great tour of his temple. Now in Taiwan, there are many temples to Guan Gong and there's many altars to Guan Gong, and people really take it seriously. There's very fervent believers, many of them like Yang, who pay a lot of respect to the god of war, Guan Gong. So what I would like to do is to read Rachel Jensen's translation of the official Wuda Sutra. This is called Guan Gong's Awakening Sutra. And this is the message that Guan Gong, the god of war in China, has for you. Lord Guan Yu's Awakening Sutra. Lord Guan Yu said, "To stand tall between heaven and earth and live without shame or regret, one should uphold with integrity the ideals of loyalty, filial duty, self-control, and righteousness. Otherwise, one is merely living without conscience in a warm body, living only for the sake of being alive. One's conscience is the deities. The deities, the gods, are one's conscience. Act in harmony with your conscience. Have no regrets or shame before the deities. deceiving your own conscience is deceiving the deities. Therefore, an honorable person keeps the three forebodings and four knowings at heart. Note, the three forebodings are forebode heaven, forebode those who are more honorable, and forebode saints. The four knowings, all acts are known by heaven, by earth, by one's collaborators, and by themselves. Do not think a dark room can obscure loathsome acts. Do not think a hidden room can conceal evil intentions. Every action that one takes, deities observe and examine clearly, as if every deed is watched by 10 pairs of eyes and unveiled by 10 pairs of hands. Justice will arrive. Karmic retributions manifest intelligently without even one hair's mistake. Sexual misconduct is the first of all evils. Filial duty is the origin of all noble acts. When presented with the opportunity for personal gain, do not act if it is against righteous principles. Do not proceed if it causes regrets of the conscience. On the contrary, actions that conform to righteous principles and lead to no regrets of the conscience cannot be ignored because they bring no material benefits. For those who dishonor my teaching, I invite you to test the power of my blade. Respect heaven and earth. Honor the deities. Venerate your ancestors. Care for your parents. Abide by the laws. Respect your teachers. Love your siblings. Trust your friends. Be harmonious with your relatives. Be friendly with your neighbors. Be faithful to your spouse. Teach your children. Be helpful to others whenever possible. Actively spread virtuous seeds without boasting about your good deeds. Reach out to those suffering in disasters. Care for the orphans and be compassionate towards the poor. Build and restore temples. Print sutras and scriptures. Contribute medicine and provide teas. Abstain from killing and release animals about to be killed. Build bridges and repair roads. Sympathize with widows and assist those in difficult situations. Be thankful for the food you receive and appreciate your good fortune. Resolve problems and settle disputes. Donate money to assist others' sound endeavors. Set up good examples for others to follow. Dissipate hatred and conflicts. Be fair and honorable in business dealings. Be friends with people of noble character. Stay away from wrongdoers. Hold back from publicly criticizing others' mistakes. Praise those who do good deeds. Think about benefiting others when acting. When in power, perform righteously to benefit society. All these virtuous acts yield blessings. For wrongdoers to obtain good fortune, change your mind and move on to the righteous path. Repent and mend your errors. Be compassionate to others. Clean away evil thoughts and carry out good deeds diligently with faith. Some others may not see your good actions. Nonetheless, deities will hear about your good deeds before them. Deities will grant you blessings and increase your longevity as well as the number of your descendants. Deities will decrease your sufferings and diseases. Natural disasters and accidents will stay away from you. Both your body and belongings will be safe. Auspicious stars will shine upon you. Ill fortune will arrive if you bear evil thoughts. Turn away from virtuous deeds. Lust and rape others' wives or daughters. Break up others' marriages or tarnish others' reputations. Or if you feel jealous of others' talents, conspire to steal others' property, coerce or encourage others into disputes and lawsuits. Benefit yourself at the expense of others to bring wealth to yourself and your family. Or even if you bear hatred for heaven and anger towards earth, or curse the weather, speak ill of saints or slander people of virtue, destroy statues of deity, or deceive deities. Refrain from killing, farming, or working animals, desecrating writings by placing them in filth, using influence to humiliate honorable people, oppressing the poor with wealth, separating parents from their offspring, or igniting disputes between brothers. If you diverge from the righteous path by committing sexual misconduct or robbery, or defrauding others to have a sumptuous lifestyle, or being wasteful or idle, being ungrateful for the food you have, failing to repay favors to your benefactors, deceiving your own conscience by deluding yourself, dealing in business using unethical means, all will bring you misfortune. Retributions will befall those who establish evil cults to deceive others. For those who lure the ignorant with lies that the denomination will bring followers to nirvana, who lie to accommodate wealth, who lie to gain sexual favors, who conceal the truth and cover up sins. Furthermore, those who verbally abuse, even curse the disbelievers to be punished by gods and ghosts, while in fact plotting secretly how to harm the disbelievers. These malicious actions go against the principles of righteousness and the laws of nature. They go against people's conscience. Those evil men do not believe in karmic retribution. They are oblivious to virtuous actions, instead luring people into doing evil and committing all kinds of immoral deeds. There are reasons why some people get entangled in lawsuits or disputes, suffer from disasters like flood or fire, or problems like theft and robbery, contract epidemics, have offspring who are mentally challenged, or encourage catastrophe like murder, lose one's home, becoming thieves or robbers. Karmic retributions materialize and impose on them as well as their descendants in the distant future. Deities inspect every act carefully. Punishments and rewards are granted orderly without error. The paths of virtue and evil define blessings and disasters. Those who do virtuous deeds receive blessings in their lives. Those who do evil deeds attract sufferings and disasters. These teachings from Lord Guan are to be adopted as guiding principles. Although Lord Guan's words are simple, they greatly benefit the body and soul. Anyone who dares to desecrate Lord Guan's teaching will be decapitated as a warning to all. For those who recite this sutra, fierce retribution will be eliminated and good luck will shower upon them. Seek sons, receive sons, ask for longevity, receive longevity. Fame or fortune, all can come true. Whatever prays for, it shall be answered. Disasters melt away like snow. Auspicious events gather like clouds. These kinds of blessings can only be obtained by realizing moral deeds. The Lord is fair and just. Protections and blessings are justified by the virtuous. Conscientiously uphold virtue. Do not neglect your will or waste your opportunity to possess integrity. That was the Sutra of Guan Gong, and those are Guan Gong's words teaching everyone about Wuda and about how to make good moral choices. If you'd like to learn more about Guan Yu and the Sutra of Wuda, you can check the show notes for links below. When I think about Wuda, I'm really thinking about words and actions. Both words and actions can have long-term effects and they can have short-term effects. Sometimes Wuda means not taking action. Sometimes Wuda demands immediate action. Wuda is moral courage and inner strength. Wuda is not simply figuring out what is right. Sometimes you have to reach out your hand and help. Sometimes you have to act to have Wuda. Wuda is not creating trouble for other people, for your friends or family, for the school, your sifu, your city, your country. Wuda is really considering the long-term consequences of your actions. In the Tao Te Ching, they say, observe the fruit, not the flower of a tree to gauge its quality. The flower can be what people say, and the fruit are the long-term consequences of those words and any actions related to them. So we really want to judge people's words and actions over the long-term consequences. Wuda is making many choices and facing many choices and making decisions and taking actions. You know, it's not just knowing what is right, it's also acting upon it. right and wrong do exist. Our modern world is very complex sometimes, and sometimes it is hard to really perceive with moral clarity what is occurring in a situation. And that is a time when you need to ponder the situation one by one and look into the specifics and details and learn what you need to be able to make a wise choice. Wuda is not thinking, "I am a good person." Wuda is consistently helping others, avoiding harming others, and creating good long-term effects. Profiting from the loss or injury of others is not Wuda. Helping others in distress is Wuda. Wuda is a moral choice, not a monetary choice. Wuda is also showing respect to your elders, your teacher, your school, and your style. Wuda is the heart of your classical kung fu, and without Wuda, you are nothing more than a thug. Good teachers are looking for good students whom they can teach Wuda, whom they can guide to become strong heroes and heroines. No one can make a bad person become good. You have to choose to be good and act on that choice. That is the minimum requirement to be a student. You can learn how to be better. You can develop your ability to identify right and wrong and to find the correct choice, the correct path. You can develop your moral courage. It is far easier to be courageous when you have skills and a physique. The point is not to become the next victim, next person who needs help. If you are weak, you may have moral clarity, even courage, but do you have the capacity to act, the capability to act, the resources to act? When we think about Wuda in self-defense, what we're thinking about is doing the least harm. You would like to defend yourself without injuring the opponent. That is your highest goal. However, surviving is your immediate need. If you are weaker, you may have to use all your strength and any means whatsoever, anything that you can to survive. If you are really strong and skilled, however, you may be able to use less force. You may be able to defend yourself without injuring the other person. You might be able to make a choice about this if you have enough skill. And this is one of the reasons that we in martial arts pursue our skill in self-defense, is that by becoming highly skillful in martial arts, it allows us to take a moral choice in a very dangerous situation in which otherwise we might not have a choice. There is an old saying about mastery in martial arts. This is a condensed version of it. We could spend a whole podcast on this particular saying and its author and talk a lot about it, and perhaps we will. But it goes basically like this. If you know yourself and know your opponent and you have cultivated your skills, in 100 battles, you can obtain 100 victories. But if you know neither yourself nor your opponent and you have no skills, in every battle, the outcome will merely be chance or luck. One of my favorite examples of self-defense is my student Cameron, who had a summer in Greece. And at this time, he was probably about 19 or 20 and in college, and he was there in Greece going to summer school. Cameron had trained with me a little bit, but I wouldn't consider him to be an advanced student or expert. However, Cameron had learned all of my dodging drills and had trained them quite a bit. And while he was there, he met a beautiful Greek girl and they started dating, and I'm sure it was just the best summer ever for Cameron. The thing that Cameron didn't really know is that his new girlfriend, well, her ex-boyfriend was the head student at the local karate school, and he didn't want to break up with her. But he was a bit of a bully and a very difficult character. And she saw my student Cameron, who's tall and knew martial arts and was very handsome. And they were on a date in the park. And this ex-boyfriend had followed them, and he had a couple of his buddies along to watch. And he was a little bit drunk, and he went up to challenge Cameron. And Cameron didn't want to have a fight with anybody. He just wanted to enjoy the nice evening with this girl, you know? And so he was approached, and without doing anything at all, when this Greek student punched at Cameron, Cameron simply tilted his body and dodged the blow at the last moment, just like I taught him. And this caused the Greek student punching to completely overbalance himself, having committed strongly to the punch. He fell forward, he lost his balance, and he hit his chin on the park bench that the two of them had been sitting on, knocking himself out cold. Of course, with his buddies watching in the bushes behind him, this ruined his reputation in the entire town and freed the girl from his bullying, and I'm sure she was quite grateful for Cameron. In this instance, I think this is a great story of Wuda, because Cameron did absolutely nothing to injure this guy. All he did was simply move out of the way at the last moment, and the guy fell over and knocked himself out. How could you have a better scenario than that, perhaps, than he didn't hurt himself? However, I think Guan Gong would agree that perhaps this ex-boyfriend bully student might have needed a little karmic retribution. And the bench and his buddies watching and probably the rest of the town provided plenty of that in the future. In the end, I think the best type of self-defense is not being there. It's not creating a situation in which you might need self-defense. Ultimately, I think real Wuda is working to change the city, the neighborhood, the county, the state, and the nation so it's all safer, so that none of us need to know self-defense, and that we can help people make better choices and take people out of desperate situations where they're forced to have very difficult choices. I'd like to tell another story that I think is a great example of Wuda, and this is from the Hong Kong martial arts movie stunt community, and it involves one of my favorite teachers and choreographers and directors, Lau Karlong, one of my favorite action stars, Jackie Chan, and another very formidable and now famous martial artist, Lau Karlong's top disciple and inheritor, Mark Houghton. Mark Houghton looks like a World War II German, and he's always the bad guy. He's been beat up by everybody in Hong Kong. He's really muscular. He's actually from Indonesia. He learned Hungar from Lau Karlong. Lau Karlong has directed and done the action choreography for many famous movies, and I love his directing because he always brings Wuda into the storyline somehow. Often he has a role or an appearance where he's the sifu and he's guiding the young students or young heroes and heroines, or he's an old master or perhaps a beggar, and he helps to deliver these little pearls of wisdom that you can always look for in his films. Part of his style in those moments is usually to indirectly point at the truth so the student discovers it on their own and has the pleasure of a real epiphany. That's the mark of a true teacher to me. So this story concerns the filming of Drunken Master 2, which has some fabulous choreography and action scenes in it. Absolutely amazing. There was a little bit of a dispute between Lau Karlong and Jackie Chan on the creative direction of the movie in portraying the drunken boxing style that's the theme of the movie. And Lau Karlong's thinking was that the drunken boxer should not actually be drunk, but should be pretending to be drunk as a deception. Jackie Chan, on the other hand, wanted the character to actually drink alcohol and then be drunk, and I think Jackie Chan was looking forward to clowning around and acting drunk and using his acting skills in a very comic way, which he did, and it added a lot of humor to the movie. Lau Karlong was objecting to portraying the actual actor drinking the alcohol because he thought that that was a negative portrayal, a negative image, and that it would have a negative effect on society. With Jackie Chan being a star and a role model, he didn't want people to see Jackie Chan drinking. He didn't want people to think that if you were drinking alcohol, it might make you more powerful as a fighter and encourage drunkenness. And he didn't want children to get the idea that if you grew up, then you could be drinking and being drunk and staggering around, and this was an acceptable or good type of behavior. This was really the point of contention when it was clear that they were going to be actually drinking in the movie and following Jackie Chan's creative decision on that. Lau Kar-Lung bowed out of the project, stopped being the action choreographer for the remaining scenes. You can see Lau Kar-Lung in Drunken Master 2. He's the general who at first has the Imperial Seal. There's a fabulous action sequence between him and Jackie Chan underneath a train car. And he's also fighting with Jackie Chan in the tea house scene. So he's got a great character and just fantastic roles in that movie. After this argument, Jackie Chan called Mark Houghton. So, well, Mark, you're a fantastic action choreographer, and I love working with you. Will you do the stunt choreography with me for the rest of the movie? Mark said, well, I would be delighted to do it, but you'll have to call Lau Kar-Lung first and ask his permission for me to help you because he's my Sifu. When he tells me it's okay, I'll be delighted to come. Of course, there was no way Jackie Chan was going to call Lau Kar-Lung after this dispute, and that was the last time that either Lau Kar-Lung or Mark Houghton worked with Jackie Chan on a film. And this is an example of taking an action in our world of kung fu and movies that was not monetary but moral. They both gave up quite a bit of money probably in this production and went out to be a huge successful movie and just a fantastic picture in many ways. But I think there's a real moral lesson here about they wanted to have a positive impact on society and they didn't think that was the way to do it. And from our point of view here in San Francisco, California, and the other areas of California, the tournament directors, and I think this was largely led actually by Sifu Bryant Fong, but pretty much all of us are wholeheartedly against anyone under 18 or even under 21 actually performing a drunken routine in a tournament. And this is because we don't want younger students under the drinking age to think that drinking in public, being drunk, that all of these things are acceptable. So we've also come to this conclusion as well. At our local tournaments, we may not be looking for younger performers doing drunken style, but we are looking for wuda. And how does wuda show itself at a tournament? Wuda is shown when the competitors do their best without cheating, when they know the rules and they follow them, and they endeavor to win solely on the basis of personal merit and skill. Wuda is shown when you're respecting their opponent, and even if they beat you, you still have a respectful attitude and you conduct the entire affair honorably and without excessive boasting or pride. When we're looking at wuda at tournaments, it shows itself in the conduct of the judges and officials and staff, and the students' actions reflect on the wuda of their teachers and their schools. When we meet at these tournaments, part of it is the entire community is meeting to gather and to share one another's accomplishments and to see one another, and we're really hoping that we'll be able to have those events in the future. You can also train and show your wuda in all the actions of your life and in each day. Hopefully, you'll be able to get through your life without having to make critical decisions in self-defense situations. Thank you for listening. Please be careful and take appropriate actions and plan what you need to do. And until our next podcast, keep moving, stay well, and be happy. Thank you for joining me and listening in. Please remember to subscribe and share. If you have questions, please send them to ask@ancientwisdommodernhealth.com.